Theatre Royal. The very name summons up something of grandeur and eloquence, and it was. Hosted by Laurence Olivier, these big-name productions also included the creme de la creme of acting talent, from John Gielgud, Ralph Richardson and Orson Welles, to Trevor Howard, Michael Redgrave and Olivier himself. They were based on works by the world's leading authors, among them Charles Dickens, Henry James, Oscar Wilde and Anton Chekhov. These are but a few of whose company we shall be keeping as we raise the curtain on our first installment of theatrical history.
The National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribed, Sir Laurence Olivier as your narrator and in the role of Scrooge in Charles Dickens' immortal story, A Christmas Carol.
Laurence Olivier. Over 100 years ago, in December 1843, Charles Dickens wrote this story. Since then, each year, countless millions have listened to or read what has become the world's most famous Christmas tale. The London from which I speak to you today differs in many ways, but in many other ways is much the same as the town Charles Dickens wrote about and loved so well. It still has its rain and fog, its sudden sharp spells of bright, frosty weather, its warm, lovable people, and above all, its spirit. That spirit immortalized forever as a Dickens Christmas. Listen then, in a moment, to his tale, A Christmas Carol. Dead to begin with, dead as a doornail. There was no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial had been signed by Scrooge himself, and his name was good for anything that he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. But first, let me tell you about Scrooge himself. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstones, he was. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek, and stiffened his gait. He iced the office of his counting house in the hot days, and he certainly didn't thaw it 1 degree at Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Ah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? You don't mean that, I'm sure.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. Come and dine with us.
Now, I'll see you far enough. Good afternoon.
But why not? We've never had any quarrel, to which I've been a party.
Good afternoon.
Well, you'll be very welcome. Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Ah! Good afternoon.
Meet Scrooge's nephew found his Christmas greetings cordially returned by Scrooge's clerk, Bob Cratchit. Even though he was freezing to death in his unheated corner of the office and earned only 15 shillings a week. In showing the young man out, however, Bob Cratchit let two other people in. They were portly gentlemen and greeted Scrooge in a friendly way.
Ah, this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, we like to make some provision for the poor and destitute. Many thousands are in want of common necessaries.
Are there no prisons?
Oh, plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
Oh, yes, indeed. But many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they'd rather die, then they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Oh.
Good afternoon.
Oh.
That was the way that Scrooge felt on Christmas Eve. At length, the hour of shutting up his counting house arrived. With an ill will, he dismounted from his stool and tacitly admitted the fact to his clerk, Bob Cratchit.
You want the day off tomorrow, I suppose.
If quite convenient,
sir. It's not convenient, and it is not fair. If I was to stop half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'll be bound.
Well, it's only once a year, sir.
Bah! Humbug!